Hey friends, welcome to the City Hope Podcast. My name is Bobby Thompson, and I have the privilege of serving as a lead pastor. I pray that today's message would inspire you, it would encourage you, and it would also challenge you in your walk with Christ. Enjoy today's sermon.
Amen. Man, I love to sing. That's good stuff. How many of y'all love to sing? Anybody like really like to sing? Brad, look, here's some new servants here. People for your worship team. Good morning, and thank you for being here. If I haven't got to meet you yet, my name's Bobby, and I would love that opportunity. You know, we say this a lot around here, but we mean it. Your presence matters. We're so grateful that you're here this morning. And maybe you came in today, and you're like, man, I got some brokenness. I got a little baggage, you know, that I'm bringing here with me. Well, you're in the right place. We all got some brokenness. We all got some baggage. And so we want you to feel right at home, because that's who we are, right? That's what a church is, a bunch of broken people trying to seek wisdom from God and guidance for life. And I truly believe, I believe the world needs more Christians, and I believe the world needs better Christians. And so wherever you fall in that category, I'm just so thankful you're here today. We're going to jump right into the Word of God. If you have your Bible, go to Habakkuk chapter number 2. Habakkuk chapter number 2. As you're turning there, it'll be here on the screen. Man, I hope that you came in here expectant. I hope that you came in here today ready to hear from God. As a matter of fact, just tell the person next to you, God has something for you today. All right, come on. Tell somebody around you. All right, God has something for you today. Now tell the person you ignored the first time, all right, look over and tell them, God's got something for you today. I believe that with all of my heart. God's got something for you today. Habakkuk chapter 2. We started two weeks ago on Habakkuk. This is a minor prophet, not because it's not important. It's just kind of shorter. It's a minor prophet. And we tackled the tough question, why does a good God allow bad things happen to good people? And we learned that you know, suffering isn't a lack of love from God. Actually, the story of Jesus helps us make sense of suffering, helps us make sense of injustice. But a quick refresher on the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk is a little bit different because most prophets, right, they hear from God and they speak to people. Well, this whole book is Habakkuk talking to God from the people, right? So we're really just getting a sneak peek of a conversation between Habakkuk and God. In chapter 1, and it's real easy to follow along. Chapter 1 is like Habakkuk prays, right? He says some bold prayers. He says some really tough things to God. He prays, God answers, and then Habakkuk didn't like God's answer, so he prayed again, all right? Anybody ever been there? You didn't really like God's answer? You don't have to raise your hand on that one. But Habakkuk prays again, right? Prayer, God answers, I don't like it, so I'm going to pray again. Now, at the beginning of chapter 2, Habakkuk does something a little bit different. He changes his position. And in verse 1, it says this, I will stand at my guard post, I will station myself on the lookout tower, I will watch to see what he will say to me, what I should reply about my complaint. So we see this change in position, which ultimately changes his perspective. Habakkuk was, I mean, he was fussing, right? He was angry. He was, I don't understand this. What are you doing? And then he changes his position and it changes his perspective. He began to focus on God and not his problem. I think something we all can learn is where you position yourself determines what you can see. Where you position yourself in this life determines what you can see. Let me say it like this. The people you hang out with determines what you're going to be able to see in this life. The media that you consume determines your perspective on life. The position changed, and so his perspective changed. I live over here in Okotie, and our house is surrounded by woods pretty much. And my desk, I sit by this window, and it just looks out into the kind of the trees and stuff. But we live out here, and all the time we see the planes. I hear the planes going over from the Marine Air Base. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know flip about planes, okay? I've watched Top Gun twice, all right? That's about my knowledge of planes. But, man, I love, man, when those fire, you know, those fighter jets go by, man, it's just so cool to look at. And I've learned where I'm sitting in my desk every day when I hear them. I've learned like where to look through the trees, and usually I can see them. But sometimes when you know, there's the cool helicopters and all these different things, sometimes I have to move and go out to the front yard because there's no trees in the way, and I have to get a different perspective because I want to see these airplanes.
And I wonder how many times in our walk with the Lord, I wonder how many times in your life, in our spiritual journey, what have I missed out on because I was in the wrong place? As a matter of fact, the question I want you to take home and ponder on this week is, have I positioned myself in a place to hear from God? As you think about that this week, I really fought against this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I'm going to make you mad, okay? And if you're mad, it's probably because I'm talking to you, all right? What have I missed out on because I've been in the wrong place? When I slept in and I didn't go to church, what did I miss out on from God? What was the word that God had for me? Dang, it got quiet. We're so busy in our lives that we're not going to get involved in any kind of group or small group or people to help us. What have I missed out on? What was God really trying to show me because I was in the wrong place? Man, I got so busy and it's just season of life. I don't spend any time in God's word. I don't spend any time in prayer. What did I miss out on this morning because I didn't look at God's word? Where you position yourself determines what you can see. So Habakkuk, he's having this conversation with God and he puts himself in a place of God's presence. He says, I'm going to stand, I'm going to watch, I'm going to wait expectantly for God to show up. And then let's see what God's answer is now. So we got prayer, answer, prayer, and we're getting ready to get the second answer. So let's do this. Let's stand and honor the reading of God's word. We're just going to read a couple verses here. Three verses, Habakkuk chapter 2. And let's look at the answer that God gives Habakkuk. God starts giving him the answer here. The Lord answered me, verse 2, write down this vision, clearly inscribe it on the tablet so that one may easily read it. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It testifies about the end and it will not lie. Though it delays, wait for it, since it will certainly come and not be late. Look, his ego is inflated. He is without integrity, but the righteous one will live by his faith. Would you pray with me? Father, bless the reading of your word. Speak to our hearts today. God, I know that some of us have some brokenness that we've walked in here with. Some of us have some anger. Some of us have some just hurt, some frustration. God, I pray that today we would understand, we would know that you can take it. And God, just give us vision, fresh vision for our lives, for our journey with you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So Habakkuk prays, and then the Lord, he starts. He says, all right, Habakkuk, I'm going to give you a vision. And here's the vision of what's going to happen. Now, Habakkuk, I want you to write this down to make it very clear what's going on. If you're a business leader, business owner, or leader of any kind, really, you understand that vision matters. People want to see where we're going. And simply, vision is moving forward, right? Moving forward in your life requires vision. So if you want to move forward in your walk with Christ, it requires vision. You want to move forward in your marriage, it requires vision. You want to become a better parent, it requires vision. Moving forward requires vision. As a matter of fact, it's such a big deal that the Bible says this, where there is no vision, people perish. So not only are you not going to move forward, but you're going to perish if you don't have vision. So it's a really, really, really big deal. I believe that God desires us to move forward in all of our relationships, our spiritual journey, our emotional journey, our financial journey. We need to move forward. We need to have vision from God. Because when you get vision, it points to what's coming. Now, sadly, this is another one of those hard parts of today. Sadly, many people go through life with no vision. We just exist. When you have no vision from God and your life just kind of goes anywhere, and what happens is you find yourself in unexpected places. You often find yourself in unwanted places. How did I get here? What in the world? Why is this situation this way? And I find myself in these places. I was trying to think of an illustration of how to illustrate this, and I thought of a balloon, right? Because when somebody asked me if I was going to have an illustration on having hot air. I don't know why. When you have a balloon and when you have a life, when we have a life with no vision, it's kind of like a balloon. And what happens? When you let go, you don't know where that thing's going. Right?
You don't know where it's going to end up. It's going to land anywhere, and there's no vision. And that's right now. Some of you sit in here this morning, and it's time. It's time for you to get some vision from God. And just as he tells Habakkuk, write it down. Because without vision, people perish. Without vision, we end up in places that we didn't want to be. We end up in places that we didn't, you know, intend to be. As a matter of fact, I don't even like this place. Why is this such a big deal? Since we started City Hope Church, I don't want to say this for sure, but because I don't want to be a liar, but I would almost say almost weekly, since we started City Hope Church, have I got a phone call from somebody that is struggling, that is hurting, that is broken, that needs help, that honestly is perishing. And I don't want you to perish. I don't want you to continue to perish. I don't want you to continue to go nowhere. Well, my finances, Pastor Bobby, they're all jacked up. Well, get a vision from God for your finances. Well, my marriage is still broken. I'm still struggling with the same thing I was a year ago. Well, you haven't done anything to make it better. What makes you think it's going to change? When we seek God, listen to me, he gives the vision. We're going to talk about this in the coming weeks. There's a big difference between my vision and God's vision. And we got to make sure it's God's vision. So my simple, you know, application, get a piece of paper, ask God for vision, write it down, write out what is coming for you in your life. This is what I tried to do a few weeks ago when we started talking about the Hope Center, as Pastor Stephen was mentioning just a minute ago. One day, I'm going to be standing, I can see it, I'm going to be preaching in a building that's our house. It's owned by City Hope Church. Why? Because God gave us that vision. One day, we're going to be standing, and many of you, I can see it, you're going to be working in our Hope Center, showing people love, helping people through brokenness, counseling, giving wisdom, giving guidance. Why? Because this is what God's called us to do. We're moving forward as a church because God's given us that vision. And you move forward in your life when God gives you a vision for your life. Now, here's where we got to start having some tension. You see, God gives the vision, but you and I have a part. God has a plan, but you have a part. Okay, God, I'm going to write down the vision. I'm going to love my wife the way that Christ loves me. Now I'm just going to sit back. All right, God, you got this. All right, you just make me love my wife, right? That's not how that works. Some of you have heard that old, what's that old saying? I'm just going to let go and let God, right? No. You and I have a part. We have a responsibility to cooperate with God's transforming grace, right? It's part of what our job is. St. Augustine says this, without God, we cannot. But without us, God will not. You see, God gives the vision, and then you and I seek him for our part of that vision. One pastor says, you must work out what God has worked in. And the vision that God has for your life, the vision God has for your family, for your marriage, for your business, for your finances, you and I, we seek the Lord, we ask him for that vision, we write it down and we say, okay, God, what's my part? Proverbs says this, look at this. The inexperienced one believes anything, but the sensible one, look at this, watches his steps. I think this is what keeps so many people from God's vision for their life. We don't take time, the necessary time, to take the necessary steps. We write down a vision, we ask God, and then we ask God for a strategy how to get there. You can go all throughout the Bible. Moses had a strategy to get the Israelites. Joshua had a strategy. Nehemiah had a strategy to build the wall. What's your strategy to get where God says go? What's your strategy to become a better dad, a better mom, a better husband, a better wife? What's my strategy to become a better follower of Christ? I thought of a few simple things that I wanted just to bring and help you with. If you're struggling in your finances and one of your visions from God is to stop spending so much money, let me give you this. This is life-changing. Stop shopping on Amazon, all right? Right? Simple way, right? Okay, that's a good strategy. I want my kids to not be selfish. How do I get unselfish kids? Let me give you a little tip. Go serve with your kids somewhere. Serve with your kids. Let them see you serving. Let them see you doing something for other people. I want my marriage. I want my marriage to be strengthened. I have this vision that we have a healthy marriage. We'll take some steps. Go on an intentional date night. Go get some counseling. Take steps. Have a strategy to become who God's called you to become. So not only do we get the vision, we write it down, we have a strategy, but sometimes, oh man, this one's tough. Sometimes the strategy includes waiting. And this is where it gets tough for many of us. Look at verse 3. God tells Habakkuk, I'm going to give you this vision and you're going to write it down. And then this is probably one of the toughest verses. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. And it testifies about the end and it will not lie. Though it delays, wait for it, since it will certainly come and not be late. Anybody like waiting? The vision's going to come, and in due time, I think it should say in his time, right? If it seems slow in coming, you got to wait. It's on its way. It's going to come right on time. And in life, if you really think about it, our whole life is really surrounded by waiting. It really is. I mean, if you text somebody, what are you doing? You're waiting on them to reply. You pull out to the stop sign. You pull out to a red light. What are you doing? You're waiting on it to turn green, right? Some of you sit through a drive-thru and you wait your turn. Some of you that are lazy, you wait for DoorDash to show up at your house because you didn't want to go to the drive-thru. You schedule your vacation, and what do you say? Man, I can't wait. I can't wait for it to come. Life kind of revolves around waiting. And here's God telling Habakkuk, though it delays, wait for it. You ever been in an airport where your plane got delayed and everybody's just in there cheering like, yeah, this is awesome, right? Waiting is not a fun thing to do. But God tells Habakkuk, though it delays, wait for it. And this week I've just been wrestling with this concept of waiting. And you know what waiting really is when it comes to God? You know what waiting really is? You know what God's really trying to tell Habakkuk? You got to trust me. You got to trust me. There's a verse that I memorized as a young kid in the KJV, kind of the old school version. And it says this. Many of you probably have heard this verse. Look at this. It says, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And if you memorize that verse, I love that. But another translation, the translation that I use every week that we preach in here is the CSB. Look what it says. Same verse. But those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not become weary. They will walk and not will faint. God, I trust you. So I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait for the vision. Now, here's the thing. Don't hear me wrong. Waiting doesn't mean stop living. Waiting doesn't mean I'm just going to give up. I'm going to keep serving. I'm going to keep giving. I'm going to keep worshiping. I'm going to keep moving in my life. There was a group of scholars that got together and they called themselves Journey. And they said, don't stop believing. They wrote a song about that. I don't know if that was really a group of scholars. I don't think it was. You can probably smell some wine and cheap perfume in a church, but I don't think that was referring to Christ followers. But anyways, don't stop. Just because I'm waiting, don't stop. Don't stop showing up. Don't stop growing. You and I, listen to me, we can't become like Jesus overnight. We're not gonna reap what we sowed yesterday. It takes time, and here's God telling Habakkuk, you got to wait. And though it delays, it's going to happen. And that's so tough to sell in our culture, right? We want instant gratification. We want it right now. What I want, when I want it. But understand this truth today. Waiting is a part of your spiritual formation. Waiting is a part of God making you the person that he wants you to be. Patience is a part of that process. It's really, really vital to understand that even in our waiting, we're still being spiritually formed. You realize that you've been formed already leading you up to today. You've been formed into this person. And even being formed right now as you sit, as you listen, as you learn, you're being formed. You will continue to be formed in the days to come. Spiritual formation is not an option. It happens to all of us. What the option is what am I going to become? Am I going to become the vision that God's given me for my life, or am I going to become something less than that? One author says this: when we are either being transformed into the love and beauty of Jesus, or we're being malformed by the entropy of sin and death. We become either agents of God's healthy and liberating grace, or carriers of the sickness of the world. See, you're becoming a person. That much is unavoidable. Why not become a person who is pervaded by the love of Jesus? Our staff, our guys, we're reading a book together, and the author has this quote. He says, a black belt is just a white belt who never quit. A black belt is just a white belt who never quit. As I'm waiting, surrender to God and become the person that He's called you to be. Are you waiting? You know what? The number one obstacle that I hear, and no, I said that in the first service. It's not an obstacle. Let's just be real. It's an excuse. It's an excuse. The number one excuse when it comes to being formed into the person that God's called me to be, well, I'm just too busy. I just got so much going on. The number one thing. The reality is a lot of us waste a lot of time. You can look at some statistics. Millennials on their phone 3 to 4 hours a day. Average adult 35 to 45 watches 2 to 3 hours of TV per day. We waste a lot of time. A black belt is just a white belt who never quit. A mature believer is just an ordinary believer who stayed at it with Jesus. Sometimes the vision God gives us for our lives is waiting. We may not like it, just like we find out that Habakkuk wasn't thrilled. But Habakkuk's crying out for justice. He says, God, you got to see what's going on. And God, you got to take care of it like this. And you got to make sure you do it this way. And God's like, well, you know, yeah, I see it, but I'm going to do things my way. And let's keep moving in the story. Habakkuk cries out and God starts answering again. And I'm just going to summarize this. God's justice, verses 4 through 19, basically what God is telling Habakkuk, he says, I'm going to give them justice, but it's going to be my way. It's not going to be the way you think it should be. It's going to be my way. And I can just imagine, you know, God and Habakkuk are sitting here having this wrestling match, right? I'm saying this, and you're doing this, and you're saying this, and they're just wrestling back and forth. And then God goes on, and he says, well, this is what's going to happen. And I'm just hearing Habakkuk. Look at verses 4 through 6, or this summarized. The arrogant and the greedy will be taunted. And Habakkuk's like, yes. He who steals will be plundered. Amen. He who gets wealth unjustly is forfeiting his life. And Habakkuk's like, let's go. I love this. This is good stuff. Verse 12 through 14, he who builds with violence builds in vain. He who uses power to abuse will taste his own medicine. Verse 18, he who turns to idols for help will find no help at all. And this wrestling going back and forth between God and Habakkuk. And now Habakkuk's kind of cheering for him. By the way, wrestling with God requires closeness. Why was Habakkuk able to take all this to God? Why was he able to have this back and forth with God? Because he had a close relationship. And in our lives, we got to understand that wrestling with God requires closeness. But I want you to see this as we close our time together this morning. So Habakkuk prays and God answers. He was Habakkuk was really, really focused on the injustice. He's like, man, this just isn't right. And he had some pretty bold words for God. He had some pretty bold prayers for God. And just understand, that's perfectly okay. God can handle your tough questions. He can handle your frustrations and your anger and your hurts and your baggage and your brokenness. God can handle all that. But here's what I think God was trying to get across to Habakkuk. As Habakkuk was crying out these bold prayers, and man, you gotta see this, and you gotta make sure you're doing something. And God gives him his answer. And here's, I think, the truth that you and I can walk away with today. Whatever you're worried about, God's already working on it. Whatever it is that is in your life that you're worried about, just like Habakkuk was worried, God's already working on it. God gave Habakkuk this vision. And he says, write it down. Write it down. Today, as we leave here in just a moment, what's God's vision for you? Be just for a minute. Let's be a little bit selfish for a second and think about, okay, God, what's your vision for me in my life? As I was preparing this week and thinking about vision, I asked myself that question. God, what's your vision for me? And one of the first things that kind of came to my heart as I prayed and I was seeking the Lord, and I think God's vision for me personally, this isn't, you know, the Bible. This is just me, what God's speaking to my heart about this week. And I think in this season of life for me, the vision that God has for me, myself, is to see myself as God sees me. I ask God, I want to see me the way that you see me. Because that's tough for me, guys. I'm just be a little bit authentic, be a little bit real. It's tough for me. Like I struggle feeling usable. I struggle feeling good enough, feeling worthy enough. And this week, God just spoke to my heart, and the vision that I want to see is I want to see myself as God sees me. And I started praying, okay, God, well, what's my vision for my marriage, right? What do I want out of my marriage? And man, I love what God's doing here at City Hope Church. And you know, the church is the hope of the world. The church, the Bible says the church is the bride of Christ. And this vision that God gave me is that I want to love my wife the way that Christ loves his bride. This week, that's what God gave me for my vision in my heart. All right, God, I got a vision for me, and I got a vision for my spouse. Well, what about my kids? God, man, this is such a big part of my life, and I don't want to screw them up. I don't want to mess them up any worse. I just started praying and started thinking, started reading, and God just kind of spoke to my heart. And he said, disciple your kids the way that I've laid out in Scripture. Disciple your kids the way that the Bible calls you to disciple. I'm just sharing this with you today. That doesn't have to be your vision from God, but that's what God gave me. And guess what? I wrote it down. And man, that's going to be my prayer. That's going to be part of my journey moving forward. The vision that God has for me. What's God's vision for you? What's God's vision for you? Not only what's God's vision for you, but what's your part in that vision? God has a part, you have a part. God has a plan, you have a part. God, what's my part of this vision? Maybe today you find yourself in a season of waiting. You find yourself in a season of wondering. And God's saying, I want you to be intentional in your waiting. Just because you're waiting doesn't mean stop living, stop giving, stop serving, stop doing. I want you to be intentional in your waiting. One of the things I love about the Bible, you know, this passage was written hundreds, thousands of years ago. And here we can read about this conversation between Habakkuk and God, and we can take stuff in 2024 and apply it to our lives. You know, the reason why Habakkuk could have this conversation with God is because he had a relationship with God. Some of you, when we read these verses and it's like, man, I just don't know. I don't talk to God. I don't talk to God like that. I don't really talk to God at all. And the reason is because you haven't yet started a relationship with Christ. And I want to encourage you today. That's where it starts. You're not going to get a vision from God for your life until you have a relationship with God. And I say this all the time, and I tell our team this, like, for me, thinking through as we plan a service, as we plan an event or whatever, one of the most important times is giving you an opportunity to respond to what we're talking about. And every week, I try to make sure you know, hey, we've got our prayer team here, our pastors are here, we got a prayer room. Whatever God's speaking to your heart, man, we want to help you. And that's who we are. That's why we started this church. And that's no different today as it is any other week. But here's the hard part, right? some of you basketball people in the room, if I have the ball and I throw you the ball, that the saying comes what? The ball's in your court. You have the ball. It's up to you what you do with the ball. And when we come and we listen to God's word and God gives you a vision and he tells you to write it down and he tells you your part, guess what? The ball's in your court. And now it's your turn to do what God's called you to do. And for some of you, that's starting a relationship with Christ. That ball is in your hands and God's calling out to you today, hey, I want a relationship with you. I'm not talking about church attendance. I'm not talking about knowing all the songs that we sing. I'm talking about a relationship. If you want that today, our prayer team's here. Our pastors are here ready to take God's word and pray with you and help you. Maybe you're here today and you just need that fresh vision from God. You need somebody just to pray over you and to pray with you and to love you and to help you through this time of your season of life. That's why we're here. And whether it's this morning in this setting, if it's a phone call later, if it's an email later, if it's a meeting at Starbucks later this week, that's our heart, is to help you find God's vision for your life. Walk and experience his goodness. Would you pray with me? Father, I love you. I'm so, so thankful for these awesome stories that we can look at and just glean so much wisdom from. Lord, I'm tired of seeing the world perish. I'm tired of seeing people just struggling, and I just pray that you would give us vision. Give us vision for our lives. Personally, our relationships, and our emotions, our hurts and pains, our finances. Give us vision, God. Help us to move forward in our walk with you. Lord, for some of us, we've been stuck in the same situation for a really long time, and you're calling out today. It's time. It's time to get a fresh vision. It's time to move. It's time to take some steps. It's time to grow. It's time. For others in the room, you're telling, it's time to wait. Waiting is this season. Whatever it is, God, I pray that we would be obedient, that we'd be courageous to take the steps you've called us to take. Give us a strategy like you gave Moses, like you gave Noah, like you gave Nehemiah. Give us a strategy, God. Show us our part in your plan. Help us not to leave here stuck. Help us not to leave here perishing, but moving forward with the vision you've given. And Lord, we do ask all these things for your glory, not for our own. That we may become the children of God that you've called and designed us to be. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for tuning in with us today. We would love to connect with you, and the best way to do that is through social media or go straight to our website. God bless you and have a wonderful day.